Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
And it is day two of the new Orange Line service after the 30-day shutdown for maintenance and repair. We've already spoken on the show about the scope of the work, some of the costs riders had to pay, and time and frustration to get to this new Orange Line service. So today, we wanted to bring you a firsthand account from one rider who reached out to tell us her story. It's a story about being trapped on a train with her mobility aid as she watched her stop come and go, only to end up 6 miles away from where she wanted to be. Jess Abramson lives in Jamaica Plain. She normally rides the Orange Line when she needs to get to work, and during the shutdown, she found that the commuter rail was a faster option than shuttle buses. But one day, her commute home turned from normal routine into a nerve-wracking ordeal.
I use a walker with wheels and a seat, and I use that as a portable seat to have with me all the time, because I have a condition called POTS that makes it so I can't stand for long. So I am able to walk without it, but I keep it with me so I can sit whenever I need to sit.
When the Orange Line is up and running and that's your regular form of commute, how easy is it to carry your walker with you and do what you need to do on the trains, getting on and off the trains, getting into stations, et cetera?
I would say it's normally pretty easy. It gets harder when something isn't working quite right. For example, sometimes only one of the two double doors on the T will open, and then one door isn't wide enough for me to walk through with the walker. So I need to sort of quickly go to another door, or if there's an elevator that's down, that makes it harder. But on a normal day, everything runs smoothly, and it works to have a walker.
You know, having to walk quickly to another door, given how packed trains often are, that even sounds really stressful, Jess.
Yeah, it definitely is a sudden moment of panic when I'm standing at a door ready to leave and only one of them opens.
So you then have this unusual experience. You normally take the Orange Line. The Orange Line is shut down for a month, and you find yourself on the commuter rail. Did you set out? Did you say, okay, they say take the commuter rail instead, I'm going to go take the commuter rail?
Yeah, I've been using the commuter rail almost exclusively during this shutdown, because I'm lucky to live at a station that is a commuter rail stop, and so it's definitely faster than the shuttle buses for me.
Okay, so then tell me what happened. You had a really upsetting commuter rail experience. Let's start. Where were you headed? What time of day was it?
It was Wednesday afternoon around 2 p.m., and I was heading home to JP, and I got on the train at South Station.
And then what happened?
So I went in one of the middle doors and sat in the accessible seating that's at the end of every car. And everything went smoothly until we got to Forest Hills, which was my stop. And none of the doors at the end of the train car that I was on were opened. And because my walker is too wide to fit down the aisle in the train, I was essentially trapped there and not able to get off the train at my stop.
Jess, were there other people in your train car who were also trying to get off?
I think there were, and there were people who were just able to walk down the aisles quickly and get to the open doors on the two ends of the train.
Like we talked about before with the Orange Line, where you would sometimes find yourself with only half a door and you had to hustle to somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
So what were you thinking in that moment? I mean, literally, you can't get off the commuter rail train.
I felt really flustered and also frustrated because I realized I was suddenly powerless and I really wanted to get off and get home and not be taken away somewhere. I had no idea where the train was going next. And so I panicked and I tried to get other people in the train car to help me. I was hoping that maybe someone on the other end of the car would be able to flag down an employee, but I'm not sure how clearly I was communicating because I was so flustered. So what I experienced was a train car full of people looking at me and no one really doing anything.
So then what happened, Jess?
So the train pulled out of Forest Hills, and I was still on it. And then I left my walker where it was, and I walked over to find an employee, and I told him that I hadn't been able to get off the train. And he told me that they had only opened one door at each end of the train. So where I was in the middle, there were multiple cars that I would have had to get through in order to get to an open door. So I went back to my walker and realized that the next stop was Route 128, which is more than 6 miles away from Forest Hills. And as we were pulling into Route 128, I realized they hadn't actually solved the problem that had happened at Forest Hills. And so I quickly went back to find that employee and told him, I have a mobility aid. I need you to open this door specifically. And he got off the train and opened that door for me. And I was able to get off the train at the next stop.
But if you hadn't found that employee again, the same thing would have happened to you at Route 128 that happened to you at Forest Hills.
Yeah. And that same thing would have likely happened if I wasn't able to leave my mobility aid and walk without it, which, needless to say, many people who use mobility aids aren't able to do.
So you get off the train. Now you're 6 miles from home on a Wednesday afternoon. Now what?
So I crossed to the other side of the track. I was very upset at that point. The first thing I did was call my mom and tell her what happened and vent to her. And she recommended that I call the MBTA right away and tell them about what happened, which is what I did. And the person from customer service helped me figure out what the next train was and when it was coming and make sure that it was going to stop at Forest Hills. I did also look at whether there was some alternate route to get back to Forest Hills. And it turns out it takes about half an hour to drive between Route 128 and Forest Hills.
Were you reticent to get back on a train, given what had just happened?
I think I wanted to be able to exercise my agency in that situation. And that's why I was looking for other ways that I might get back home. But when the train came, I made sure to verify that the door that I was getting into was going to be opened. And I felt okay about being there and being able to get off.
So you get back on the train. Excuse me. You go back to Forest Hills. I'm assuming you went home after that?
I did, yeah.
And, I forgive me for projecting, but I know when I've had a really upsetting experience over the next 24 hours, then I start to stew. I start to think about it. I run the scenario in my head, et cetera. How did you find yourself feeling over the next day or so?
I felt really frustrated by the whole thing. I felt angry. And I think just the experience of being so powerless in that moment and knowing that I was powerless only because of my mobility aid was really upsetting to me. And I think it also changed my relationship to the city and to my sense that I belong here and have autonomy and can get around. And that's partly why I wanted to come and tell this story, because I want to, you know, feel like I have a voice here and feel like I'm getting my autonomy back.
What do you want now? When your story is told, what do you want to see the T do?
I want to see, first and foremost, that they make sure that this doesn't happen again. I think that what went wrong in this scenario was that a door was open at South Station that shouldn't have been open because it wasn't going to be opened at all the other stops. So that's something that can be prevented. I think also that when there's a scenario like this one, where there's a sudden change, like the Orange Line being shut down, that it affects different communities of people differently. And disabled people, we tend to be experts at navigating our environments because often those environments weren't designed with us in mind. And so we figure out how to get by. We do the advocating for ourselves that we need to do. And then when something like this happens and there's a change to our day-to-day lives, that will often affect us in bigger ways and in more negative ways. And so it takes a lot of forethought and specific planning to make sure that the new scenario is going to be accessible for us. And I think that there wasn't quite enough of that before the shutdown.
You said that this experience affected really your sense of your relationship with the city. what will it take for you to feel good about and confident in and like you're in a great relationship with your city again?
I think part of it will be feeling confident that the MBTA learned from what happened and will prevent it from happening to other people. I also think part of what was disheartening was the fact that I tried to get help from the strangers in the train car and people didn't respond. And I think that that was largely the bystander effect and the fact that there were so many people who could have helped me. No one specifically volunteered. Maybe it'll take a few experiences of people stepping up and helping me out for me to be reminded that there's also a lot of that that happens here.
If you don't mind, teach people how they could have stepped up better for you. What do you wish somebody in that train car had done in the moment?
I wish someone had asked me what I needed, because I'm not sure I was being totally clear about that, and then been willing to do what I couldn't do, which was just run off and find an employee. And in that case, I think they would have been able to open the door for me.
That was Jess Abramson, a data analyst who lives in Jamaica Plain. She joined us to talk about her disturbing experience riding the commuter rail during the Orange Line shutdown.